This morning we're going to be looking continually at Jesus' birth. The scripture I used last Sunday will be the same as last Sunday, along with some others. And if you have an opportunity this Christmas week, read Luke 1 and 2, the birth of Christ. There's a lot of things going on with Jesus' birth, the forerunner, John the Baptist, Theophilus, which I'll mention here in the first few verses of Luke chapter 1. But I entitled this, Jesus, the Gift of Hope. And this world needs hope. And we can look to Christ, and He gives us that hope. So if you will look with me, beginning with first, well, I want to read the first four verses of Luke chapter 1. Kind of gives you an introduction of who Luke is addressing. First of all, you may not often heard of this person that's mentioned here in verse 3, but he was a student of Luke, and Luke thought a lot of Theophilus, and he studied under Luke, so that's why he addressed, and that must have been significant for him to address Theophilus in this particular chapter. So it's not on the screen, but I'll read these first four and then move to verse 26. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile an account of the things accomplished among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the very beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Verse 3, it seemed fitting for me as well, having invested everything carefully from the very beginning, to write it out for you in consecutive order, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the exact truth about the things you have been taught. So Theophilus was a student of Luke, and he thought it noteworthy to include him in the first four verses of this introduction. And then it goes on to the birth of John the Baptist. Now we move down to verse 26, the birth of Jesus foretold. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in the womb and bear a son, and you shall call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Mary said to the angel Gabriel, how can this be, since I am a virgin? And the angel answered and said to Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son, which would be John the Baptist, in her old age. and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, the bond slave or servant of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Now, I am entitled to this, Jesus Christ, the gift of hope. He is the Son of God. Now, as I read the first four verses, we learn how the Gospel of Luke was written to instill, I believe, a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ in a person by the name of Theophilus, who was actually a student, as I mentioned a while ago, of Luke. And Luke tells us that he sought to teach Theophilus what had been delivered unto him by the eyewitnesses and ministers of the word concerning the certainty of what had been seen and told about Jesus Christ in 2 through 4. So this teaching included not only the life of Jesus, but included Old Testament prophecy and I would say theological foretold things that's going to happen. And this is the spiritual lesson for us here in this chapter. So in Luke chapter 1, it contains the account of the birth of John the Baptist as well. And you can go back and read verses 5 through 25 and gives us that account. And there's a spiritual lesson contained in this chapter as well. So that's what is so unique about the writings about Jesus Christ and the people involved in the spiritual lessons that we all can learn. And this teaching contains more thoughts that we can even comprehend until we read it. So the lesson we will see deals with what I would call belief and unbelief, okay? If you read through this whole chapter, you know, Zacharias, he didn't hardly completely understand what's taking place, so he had some unbelief. But on the other side, as we read about Mary, she believed. And she said, whatever it is, let it be according to your word. So, in the virgin birth, and it shares the consequences of unbelief, which Zacharias understood after that happened. And there's a similar account of another account of Abraham and Sarah in the Old Testament, which portrays the same spiritual lesson expounded upon, important, that God wanted to reveal through Theophilus, as Luke mentioned. So that kind of gives you an introduction of this chapter and the importance of the spiritual lessons that you and I are to learn and actually apply in our own lives. And we don't want to be on the unbelief side, but believe just like Mary, because there are consequences in not believing in the birth of Jesus Christ. So, going back to the conception of John the Baptist, verses 5 through 25, Gabriel came and presented to Zacharias that John the Baptist would be born. And I won't read those verses, but you can read those verses yourself today. And now we'll move on to one who prepares the way, in which was John the Baptist, verse 17. And from these verses, we learn how the angel Gabriel appeared to Zacharias to announce that God would give him and Elizabeth, being a Jewish priest, should have been familiar with the Old Testament prophecy. I mean, here he was a priest, and he should be familiar with that concerning the coming of one who would prepare the way, which would be Jesus Christ, the true Messiah. Now, for example, in Micah, well, Elizabeth and son said, "Who will prepare the way for the Lord?" And that's verse 17. And then in Zacharias, being a Jew, he should have known this. And then in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Behold, I send my messenger." And Zacharias should have known about this because he knew of the Old Testament. And that's why I wanted to include this particular text in our message today. "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple." Amazing, amazing. Knowing that Zacharias should have been familiar with this particular prophecy here. And we must wonder why he responded the way he did. And when you read those verses 5 through 25, you have a better understanding of that. So now, let's look at Zacharias' unbelief in verse 18. So how did Zacharias respond to Gabriel's message that he would receive a son? And we see that he doubted, right? We see that he doubted. In verse 18, he said, "How shall I know this? For I am old man, and my wife is well advanced in age, in years." So you would have think that the presence of the angel, God sent this angel to him to proclaim that he was going to be having a son. God's word would, you would thought, would encourage him and help him in his faith, but it didn't. Instead, looking to God by faith, the priest looked at himself and his wife and decided that the birth of his son was impossible. But when you look at chapter 1, verse 37, it says what? Nothing is impossible with God. Luke clarified that. He wanted some assurance beyond the plan of God's, or the word of Gabriel, God's messenger, perhaps a sign from God. And we see that throughout the scriptures. And probably many of us are through the ages, people have said, "Give me a sign, give me a fleece, show me something, signs or wonders," even in the Gospels. People wanted evidence. And God always gives evidence. Sometimes we just miss it. It's so obvious what God does, and we should understand that God works in mysterious ways. We just need to believe and have faith. So this, of course, was unbelief, and unbelief is something that God does not accept. God did not accept unbelief. So in reality, as we look at Zacharias' response, was really questioning God's ability to fulfill his own word. Now, he had forgotten what God did for Abraham and Sarah, and there was some doubt there on Abraham's part and so forth. And did he think that his physical limitation would hinder God Almighty? And sometimes we think our physical abilities are not up to standard, but you see, God can work with the minimum of things. He can take the smallest things, and when we pray or when prayer is intervened, things happen. And that's a good lesson for us. And we cannot be too critical of Zacharias, actually, because not being in his shoes, we ourselves don't know how strong our faith would be and how we would respond as well. Just like in the Garden of Eden, right? When sin took place. Satan has a way of placing doubt in our minds. Okay, let's look at the punishment for unbelief. What happened to Zacharias because of his unbelief? He was punished by not being able to speak. And according to the scriptures, if you read Luke chapter 1, 5 through 25, you'll read all of this. But according to scripture, we see how this sealing of the lips was punishment. It was. Faith is based on, is blessed. Faith is blessed. But unbelief is judged, and it will always be judged. And Zacharias was struck dumb until the word was fulfilled. You know, all through the Gospels and all in Paul's epistles, in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, even Paul says, in the fullness of time, God sent his only Son into the world to be Redeemer. So there's always a particular time, fulfillment of time, things are to happen. And that's what was taking place here in the fullness of time. And when it ran its course, Zacharias was able to speak again. So he left the holy place, which is the temple where he served. He was unable to give the priestly benediction to the people. He wasn't able to do this, even tell them what he had seen or what he had even witnessed. He was not able to tell anyone what had taken place. God had given him a very personal sign, you know, a personal one, came to him personal to relate this miracle that was going to take place, that he would have to live for the next 9 months. 9 months he was unable to speak. So likewise, if anyone doubts the birth of Jesus Christ, what a great blessing will be missed. Be missed. And for believers, think about this. The blessing we receive from Jesus Christ is eternal life. But if anyone misses the blessings of eternal life, it won't be temporarily like it was for Zacharias or Abraham. It will be forever missed. It will be a blessing that will be missed eternally. And another part of the conception of Jesus Christ in the scriptures I read tells us about the birth of Jesus Christ. But I want to focus now on the blessing given unto Mary. She was the favored one, chosen one, out of all the women of that time, that day. It was fulfillment for Christ to be born through Mary. Again, the angel Gabriel spoke to Zacharias earlier, but right here we see how he spoke to Mary. And this is what he had to say to Mary as well. Rejoice, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. She was truly blessed in verse 28. And first of all, the angel of the Lord told Mary, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus, Emmanuel. And because of the affliction of the world, now there was a lot going on in the world, and that's why Paul, the Apostle Paul, in Galatians chapter 4 tells us in the fullness of time. So now it is being revealed right here in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38, what Gabriel was explaining and proclaiming to Mary, it is now being fulfilled through you, because you are the favored one. You are the chosen one among all the women. And because of the affliction of the world, from the very beginning of time, God brought forth his son, and only son, Emmanuel, God with us. That's a very important statement for us. Think about it. God is with us every day. Emmanuel, God with us. That's what that means. To come down among us and die for us in order to save us from our sins. What a blessing that is, that God was willing to do that. And then we see Mary's faith here. Apart from Zacharias, who did not believe, he had unbelief, but Mary's faith carried her through. It caused her to believe exactly what Gabriel was saying to her at that important time. To her final response in verse 38 reveals truly what was in her heart. You would think Zacharias, his heart, being in the temple, being serving the people, serving God, first of all, he would have believed. But she pretty much said, so let it be. Let it be. Her response is not like that of the prophet Isaiah when the Lord extended his call to him. Isaiah declared, Lord, here am I, send me. And we've all read Isaiah chapter 6, because he felt like he was unclean. But God sent a vision to him, telling him exactly what was wrong with him and the people. They were people of unclean lips. But God cleansed him of that as well. So Mary, believing response was to surrender herself to God as a willing servant. And see, that's what the Lord is looking for in each one of us, being a willing servant. And sometimes we don't understand. We don't even understand prayers that we pray sometimes when we see them answered. But we know it's from God when we see the results of it. And she said, let it be according to your word. Let it be according to your word. Now, and that's in verse 38. And the Lord promised a virgin birth unto Mary. And this birth was unlike any promise before. And of course, Elizabeth was 6 months with John the Baptist, which is the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And all of this has the significance of why Jesus came to this world, to us. And God sent John the Baptist to be the forerunner for Jesus Christ. And it was actually, if you read that, about John the Baptist and all the other books of the gospel explaining about John the Baptist. You know, he lived out in the wilderness. He ate locusts, wild honey, and all of these things. And when he began to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ, I mean, they almost thought that he was the Christ. But he said, no. When Jesus appeared, he said, I must decrease in order for Christ to increase. He's here now. And that's for the purpose, preparing the people the way of Christ coming into this world. And the Lord promised a virgin birth, and that would be Mary, the favored one. And she was called blessed. She truly was blessed. So as we believe in the birth of God, Jesus Christ, the only Son, we too can be called blessed before God. We are blessed because we will receive an eternal blessing, which is eternal life one of these days. See, this is why we need to read the account of the birth of Jesus Christ, because it included all of us. And when you go to Matthew chapter 28, when Jesus ascended back into heaven, he gave us the great commission that we too, being like John the Baptist and other the apostles and disciples and all of those, the prophets, proclaimed the name of Jesus. What a perfect time of year to meet someone on the street or a family member that needs to know more about Jesus Christ. This is a perfect gift for the world, isn't it? The whole world to behold the birth of Jesus Christ. And what an opportunity and what a blessing it would be for you and myself to proclaim that. You know what? I never get tired of sharing Jesus Christ with someone. You know, we're like Paul, the Apostle Paul, I am not ashamed of the gospel. We not need to be, right? We never should be ashamed of the gospel. Just think, if someone was ashamed to share it with us, where would we be today? I'm so thankful for those who shared Christ when I was just a young whippersnapper, just really small. And then it took root in my heart. And now, as I stand before you, you know, I am blessed to be a part of the family of God, just like you. What a great time of the year to share the birth of Christ with others. Don't be ashamed to do that. Share Jesus. This world needs that hope. Jesus Christ, He is the gift of hope. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Jesus Christ. We thank You that in the fullness of time You sent Your Son, the only begotten Son, into this world. For people to hear, to listen to Him when He was here on this earth. And now we have Your Word printed and we can read it. And may we take it as a privilege that we have Your Word in our hands, and that we don't set it aside and just read it occasionally or once a year at Christmas or Easter, but we make it a part of our daily lives, because we need to know more and more about You. Like Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, I want to know Him not only as my Savior, but as my Lord. And if we know You more as our Lord daily, then we will make less mistakes, which are sins in our lives. We will understand Your righteousness. We will understand Your holiness, how we are to live our life purely in righteousness before You. Just as Gabriel stood before Zacharias and Mary and Elizabeth, You stand before us right here in this place. You stand before us no matter where we are. You see us, our actions and our conducts and our motives. You know our heart. And that's why Mary believed, because she believed from the heart. Her decision was based on her faith in You. Nothing is impossible with You. Let it be according to Your Word. May that be our statement. May that be our motto of life. Lord, however You interact in my life, whatever You're calling me to do, let it be. Just like Isaiah in chapter 6, Lord, here am I, send me. Let us be Your witnesses this season. We praise You and we thank You in Christ's name. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is Away in a Manger. Let us stand as we sing verses 1 through 3.